Welcome back to another episode of Who is the Man of the Shroud? This podcast series examines all of the really interesting questions resulting from the ongoing study of the Shroud of Turin. Depending on your view, it can be an artifact or a relic. But we know that it is unlike any other object in the world. Each week, we take a look at some unique aspect of the cloth itself, its characteristics, or its history. I am Father Peter Mangum, rector of the Cathedral of St. John Berkman's in Shreveport, Louisiana, back this week with Dr. Cheryl White. This is Holy Week, and today is Good Friday, the day our Lord's crucified body was taken down from the cross. It had been raining, so certainly some of the blood of our Savior had been washed away, but not all. They would not have carried his lifeless body, having been stripped before his crucifixion all the way to the tomb. They would have placed it on a cloth and wrapped him in it, fastening cloth strips around it to hold the shroud in place, as was their custom. Mindful of this solemn day, we turn our attention to divine revelation, to sacred scripture itself, in order to begin this podcast. This week, we focus in a little bit on the earliest possible history for this cloth, something we will explore over several episodes. The burial shroud of Jesus is something that is mentioned in all four gospel accounts. For instance, St. Matthew's gospel tells us, as Jesus was removed from the cross, there came a rich man of Arimathea named Joseph, who also himself was Jesus' disciple. He went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body be delivered. And when Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his own new tomb hewn from the rock. The Gospel according to St. John gives us great detail about the empty tomb and mentions the burial cloth this way in the resurrection account. Peter came with the other disciple, and they went toward the tomb. They both ran, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. And stooping in to look, he saw the linen cloths lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen cloths lying and the napkin, which had been on his head, not lying with the linen cloths, but rolled up in a place by itself. Imagine, what would Peter or John have done with the shroud? Surely they took it with them. It was proof that Jesus was no longer in the tomb. Interestingly, note that John's account includes not only the burial shroud, but what is perhaps yet another related relic of the church, the sudarium, which has been held in Oviedo, Spain since the 7th century. We will cover much more about this in a future episode, but for now, let's just say that shroud scholars are fascinated by the close forensic relationship between these two cloths. They have the same blood flow patterns, the same type blood, and have a strong tradition that linked them to each other.
So we want to state that the cloth mentioned in all four Gospels is the very same as what we now know as the Shroud of Turin, then a historical chain of evidence seems imperative. As we've mentioned before, the undisputed and uninterrupted history of the Shroud begins in 1347 in Liray, France. But are there very early references to this relic? So yes, the Gospel accounts all clearly relate that Jesus was wrapped in a linen shroud. We know there was one. It was also completely consistent with Jewish burial customs. I'd like to point to a really interesting potential reference outside of the Gospels, actually found in one of the epistles of St. Paul. Also, there's another early source that provides some clues about the shroud's whereabouts in the first centuries. But first, some important background here. As Father Peter just mentioned, it's unimaginable that the apostles would have left the shroud behind. It would have been a very special and much revered object. Although we do not have any record, either historical or biblical, it's reasonable to make an assumption that this shroud would have been in the possession of one of the apostles. It's possible that they shared it, used it somehow, perhaps as the first linen corporal to be used at early Eucharists. We also know that the apostles traveled. St. Peter, for instance, went to many of the empire's great cities, including those he himself addresses directly in his first letter: Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. This insight makes all the more compelling a particular passage from St. Paul's epistle to the Galatians, knowing that St. Peter had visited there. Listen to what St. Paul wrote in the year 54 or 55, addressing a people who seemed to be turning away from the Christian faith. In the third chapter, verse 1, St. Paul says, "O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified?"
Now, this is really interesting. St. Paul is telling the Galatians to stay focused on the gospel message they've received, and says that they have seen some type of public evidence of the crucifixion. Many biblical scholars believe that St. Paul is referring to a previous visit to Galatia from St. Peter, who had the shroud with him. Now, if St. Peter had possession of the shroud, he probably would not have left it in Rome while he traveled elsewhere. By this time, the year 55, Rome was ruled by Nero, and persecution of Christians was commonplace. Let's be clear. We cannot know for certain that St. Peter had the cloth or where he took it. We are speculating for sure. The other great sees of Christianity, Antioch, Alexandria, or Jerusalem, would have been likely destinations for the shroud for safekeeping. Jerusalem fell in the year 70, and many Christians fled for Antioch. We know this is a historical fact. This is recounted in a document called the Sermon of St. Athanasius, written by the 4th century bishop of Alexandria. He says, "An image of our Lord and Savior at full length was transferred from Jerusalem to Antioch." St. Athanasius goes on to explain that the faithful and disciples of Christ left the city carrying everything related to our faith. These are quotations from authentic sources. So, this image of our Lord and Savior at full length, was this what we now know as the Shroud of Turin? Perhaps I can ask, to what else could he be referring?
While there's no way to know for sure, clearly St. Athanasius was referring to something that was being venerated, something that depicted Jesus Christ, and something valuable enough that the faithful took great care to get it out of Jerusalem. The final Roman siege of Jerusalem was complete in the year 70. The great ancient city was sacked. There is no question that Christians would have fled. And Antioch was a logical destination about 300 miles to the north. The ancient Jewish historian Josephus tells us that there was a great trade exchange between the two cities, and the populations of each enjoyed a heavily traveled road. Of the four original apostolic sees of Christianity, Rome, Jerusalem, Antioch, and Alexandria, by 70 AD, only Antioch and Alexandria would be considered safe for keeping the holiest of relics. This is an intriguing early historical explanation. The Shroud of Turin could well have traveled with the apostles, particularly St. Peter, and ended up in Antioch by the end of the first century. There is at least one other interesting possibility, that the shroud was taken to Edessa by another apostle, St. Jude. But more about that next week.
Right. We've got so much more to explore. And we will be addressing parts of this history all along the way. But for today, let's give proper credit to the logic that applies here. The apostles would not have left the burial shroud of Jesus behind in an empty tomb. Other instruments of his torture would have been taken, like the crown of thorns, the nails, the flagrum, in other words, the whip. Anything at all related to someone who would have been killed and then raised to life. As always, thanks for all the feedback and keep it coming. Let us know what questions we can answer for you, perhaps in a future episode. For whatever this mysterious strip of cloth is, it pushes the limits of the human imagination, our capacity for knowledge, and invites all of us to deeper inquiry and reflection. There is no question that this remarkable object has inspired much devotion, especially following the photographic revelation of the man of the shroud. Is it indeed the Holy Face? Today, throughout the world, at the beginning of our Good Friday service commemorating the Passion of our Lord, the Church has us offering the following prayer. And notice the use twice of the word image. We make this our prayer as we conclude this episode. O God, grant that, just as being conformed to your Son, we have borne by the law of nature the image of the man of earth, so by the sanctification of grace we may bear the image of the man of heaven. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Until next week, have a blessed Triduum, celebrating well the resurrection of our Lord.